If the FBI agent was still alive, he'd have found some trace of him in his long, exhaustive search. If he were alive, Roscommon would have let slip some morsel of information during Esterhazy's 3 visits to his clinic. If he were alive, Esterhazy would have found him at the stone cottage that morning. He felt as if a huge weight had been lifted from his shoulders. He could go home and pick up his life from the point it had been upended when Pendergast and D'Agusta had first shown up on his doorstep. Whistling, he closed the door to his room and descended the stairs. He was not concerned the old lady would venture into town to announce the assault, and even if she did, the village so clearly thought her touched that her story would never be believed. The bicycle ride and the 8-mile hike across the moors and back had sharpened his appetite, and for the first time in weeks that appetite was not dulled by anxiety. He entered the dark and fragrant confines of the Half Moon and settled onto a bar stool with satisfaction. Jenny Protheroe and McFlecknoe, the barkeep, were there in their usual positions, one before the bar, one behind.
"Afternoon, Mr. Draper, sir,"
said McFlecknoe as he drew a pint of the usual for Esterhazy.
"Afternoon, Pauly, Jenny."
Numerous rounds purchased by Esterhazy over the last week had earned him the considerable right of calling them by their Christian names. Mrs. Protheroe nodded and smiled.
"Hello, love."
McFlecknoe set the pint before Esterhazy, then turned back to Jenny Protheroe.
"Odd we haven't seen him around before," he said. "Well, he did say he'd been over at the Braes of Glenlivet."
The old woman sipped her bitter.
"Think he ever went to the constable about it?"
"Nay, what's to tell? Besides, last thing he'd want would be to get mixed up in something on vacation and all."
Esterhazy pricked up his ears.
"Have I missed something?"
McFlecknoe and the shopkeeper come laundress exchanged glances.
"Clergyman," the barkeep said. "You just missed him. Stopped in for a dram."
"Several drams,"
said Jenny, with a knowing wink.
"Nice old fellow he was," said McFlecknoe. "For a Welshman. Has a little church down in Anglesey. He's been up here in the Highlands the last month."
"Gravestone rubbing,"
said Jenny Protheroe, shaking her head.
"Now, Jenny," said the barkeep, "it's a respectable pastime enough, especially for a man of the cloth."
"Perhaps," the old woman replied. "Said he was an aquarium, he did."
"Antiquarian," McFlecknoe corrected.
Esterhazy gently interrupted.
"I'll have the steak and kidney pudding, please, Pauly,"
he added in his most disinterested tone.
"What's this about the constable?"
McFlecknoe hesitated.
"Well, now, Mr. Draper, sir, I don't know as I should say. He'd already had 3 whiskies by the time he told us the tale, you know."
"Oh, don't be daft, Pauly," Jenny Protheroe scolded. "Mr. Draper, he's a good sort. He's not going to go making any trouble for the old fella."
The barkeep considered this.
"Right then. It was some weeks back. The priest had just come into the area and was on his way to Auchendown. He spotted the churchyard of Balbridge Chapel. It's a bit of a ruin hard by the Inish Marshes, and stopped to examine the gravestones. Well, no sooner was he inside the churchyard when a man came out of the mists. Drunk and sick he was, shivering, blood and muck all over." "The poor cleric felt sure he was a fugitive," said the shopkeeper, putting one finger to her nose. "Running from the law."
Esterhazy knew of the ruined chapel. It was situated between the Foulmire and Inverkirkton. "What did the man look like?" he asked, his heart suddenly rattling in his chest like a rat caught in a tin can. McFlecknoe thought a moment.
"Well, now, he didn't say. He was desperate, though, raving about something. The cleric thought the man wanted to make a confession, and so he listened. He said the chap was nearly out of his wits, trembling all over, teeth chattering. He told the man some sort of story, and needed to know the way around the marshes. The vicar drew him a bit of a map, made the vicar promise not to whisper anything about the encounter to a soul. The poor old priest went back to his car to get a spare blanket from the boot, but by the time he got back to the churchyard, the fellow had vanished again.
"I'll be locking my door tonight and all," said Jenny Prothero.
"What story did the man tell the priest exactly?" Esterhazy asked.
"Now, Mr. Draper, you know how the clergy are," the barkeep said. "Sanctity of the confessional and all."
"And you said his parish was in Anglesey?" Esterhazy said. "Was he on his way back?"
"No, he still had a few days left of his holidays. Said he was going to stop over at Lochmoray. A wee bit of a village over west," said MacFlecknoe, his tone implying that Inverkirkton was a metropolis by comparison.
"Plenty of old gravestones to rub at St. Mun's," Jenny Prothero added, with another shake of her head.
"St. Mun's," Esterhazy repeated slowly, as if to himself. Chapter 24. Lochmoray, Scotland. Judson Esterhazy bicycled uphill, leaving the little town far behind. As the road wound back into the granite hills, all signs of civilization dropped away, and in another 90 minutes a grey stone steeple appeared in the distance, just poking above the folded landscape. That could only be the chapel of St. Mun's, with its historic churchyard where, with any luck, he would find the priest. He stared at the long winding road, caught his breath, and began the ascent. The road went up through pines and firs before curving around the shoulder of the hill, dropping into a glen, and then climbing one last leg toward the isolated chapel. A cold wind blew, and clouds scudded across the sky as he paused at the shoulder to examine the approach. Sure enough, the priest was in the churchyard, all alone, dressed not in black but tweeds, with only a clerical collar to mark his calling. The man's bicycle was propped against a gravestone, and the cleric himself was bent over a table-type tomb involved in making a rubbing. Although he felt a little foolish, Esterhazy probed the reassuring lump of his pistol, assuring himself it was readily accessible, and then he remounted his bicycle and coasted down. It was amazing. The bastard Pendergast was still making trouble for him, even from beyond the grave. It must have been Pendergast this priest bumped into, out there on the moors. He would have been weak from loss of blood, half mad with pain, just minutes from death. What had he told the man? Esterhazy could not leave Scotland without knowing. The churchman rose awkwardly as Esterhazy approached.